it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with Rob Walczak about engineering for the paranormal. Now let's talk about your gear, because you have designed a couple different pieces, and one's an epic box.
Epic box, yep.
And tell me about that, what you do with it, how... I'd even like to go back to the beginning when that was just an idea in your head.
Yeah, so I was actually working on the Piccolo, and...
Which we'll talk about that one next.
So I took a break from it, and then this is... I had some old data from my data loggers that I had been collecting from haunted locations and non-haunted locations, because I wanted to see, you know, what the differences were between the two, right? So I was able to identify six variables that I believe spirits can manipulate, and I put those six variables into the Epic box. And basically what it does is they can manipulate those six and force a yes or no. That's the idea behind it, right? It's a simple yes or no, you know, device. So you can ask those kind of questions. And, you know, I put it out there and I tested it at some locations and I got pretty good responses back, meaning I already knew the answer to some of the questions, right? So I confirmed it through the spirits answering those questions and getting them right through the Epic box. And then I made about a dozen of them and gave those out to some different groups that I know and trust. And because, you know, everyone says, hey, give me some device and I'll test it for you. But I kind of have high expectations. So I'm like, I need some information back from you, right? So these groups I trust, and they fed me back the information. And they also were experiencing really positive results with using the Epic box, you know, versus other motion sensing type yes, no boxes that are out there. So that kind of confirmed to me that, yes, this does work in the paranormal field. So that's when I then released it to the public. I made it a device that I sell. Like we were talking before, I do come up with a ton of devices. I've got so many little devices that I make, but not all of them, you know, I think are sellable, right? So I don't make those production devices.
Do you have some that you've created that you just use for you with no intention of selling them? It's like, this is working for me. I'm going to keep this one to myself.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I make my specialty static devices. I've got a very specialized proximity device. It's not a Junior Thurman stuffed in a box. It's an actual proximity device that I designed myself, that works differently than how, you know, the REM pod or Junior Thurmans work. So that one I use quite a bit. And then I've got another trigger that will trigger a camera. This one, I'm getting a lot of people ask me about this, but it triggers a camera and that camera does like three burst shots. So it's a satellite device, meaning it's wireless. You put it in a room somewhere, point the camera at it or whatever direction you want to point at. When it triggers, the camera will fire three rapid fire shots off the camera. So that one I've gotten really good.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, I would think too, when you do an investigation, you know, a lot of people will go through the audio, the video, you know, they've taken notes, they heard this or that, you know, go through that way. I see your data as being more like on a spreadsheet and, you know, it's just more analytical.
Yeah.
And you're looking for different things than a lot of people, more than just hearing EVPs.
Right. Because so my theory or my belief, I should say, not really a theory, my belief when ghost hunting is that the spirits, we're measuring subtleties. So when you walk into a room, you change the temperature of that room. It's very subtle. It's not going to show up probably on a thermometer, but you do change the room the temperature of that room. The same thing with the spirits. By them being there, they change something in that room, and it's up to us to identify what that is. So I use this this little model of an invisible candle, right? If I had an invisible candle in a room, could you tell me where that candle was located? Well, you would have to use, it would change the temperature, right? Because it's a flame, so it would be hot, the temperature would change. It would change the light. So you would start to look for light that is in places that it should not be, right? And then if you do a good job of being a detective, then you should be able to figure out whereabouts that candle is located in the room, right? So that's kind of what we're doing with a spirit, except spirits move where the candle doesn't. We're going into an area and we're looking for those subtle changes. And that's what I like to detect. That's what I like to record. That's what I go after, is to find those changes. And when I get those changes, then I look at them and I run them through. I've got some program. I'm a data analyst by my full-time job. So I go through that data and analyze it and look for, there are some differences and changes that are not statistically significant. And there are others that are statistically significant. And those are where I look for to help me prove that a place is haunted or not.
Because to me, I would also think that going back to a location multiple times and investigating the same location, do you find that beneficial? Because you're comparing apples to apples kind of at that point, rather than going into a whole new location. Do you do a lot of repeat investigations?
I don't. I prefer to do like the residential, right? The first time going into it, looking at the history. I do like the history of it, so I look at that. Mm-hmm. And then I go in with my data loggers and I start logging data. I will come back, right? Because if you're in the paranormal long enough, you know that this stuff waxes and wanes. It's not always turned on, mm-hmm. right? So you do need to go back, because maybe you just went on a bad day, right? So then you go back another day and you try and find those good days. And then for me, at least, I want to get enough of those good days where I could string them together and say, okay, this is statistically significant. I need to take a look at this, this kind of data. But what I don't do is I don't go back. I do go to known haunted locations, the big ones. And I go there, and that's more of just curiosity and to have fun, right? It's not really data gathering. When I go to the data gathering, that's more the residential or the first time, like this house I'm at here, the Mullins home. I've been the only person to investigate it. I've had some other people come with me, but I've kind of been the lead on the investigations of this house. And found some really interesting correlations with other locations that I've investigated.
I was going to ask you about that, because then you could take the information you gather at one location, compare it to another location, and go, this is interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's where I think I'm getting on a soapbox, but that's where I think MUFON does a better job than we do in ghost hunting side of the paranormal.
And explain what MUFON is, because I can't remember what it stands for.
Oh, it stands for the Mutual UFO Network.
Yeah.
And they investigate alien abduction claims. They investigate UFO sightings and those kind of things. They do a fantastic job, and they document everything from the weather, when the person saw it, what time they saw it, what mood they were in, who was there, what angle were they looking at when they were up in the sky. They document all this stuff, and they're able to then compile a database. And that's where I think on the ghost hunting side of paranormal, we kind of drop the ball there. We don't collect and share all that data, right? In a way, we just kind of run in with our K2 and start waving it around and not really writing things down or interviewing. We don't spend enough time interviewing the witnesses, I don't think. And I would like to see more of that. I would like to see a website maybe where everyone can go and just write reports, kind of like MUFON, right? They've got a, you can go and write a report and upload it, and it's there for everyone to see. And that would, I think that would be a huge bonus for the ghost hunting side of the paranormal.
And you just brought up weather. I'm kind of a weather geek. I worked in radio for years and we chased storms and stuff. But so I'm fascinated by weather. But weather changes the atmosphere. Weather changes the energy. So, you know, that it was a dark and stormy night cliche. There's some truth to that. I think it changes the atmosphere of wherever you are. And I would think if you're in a haunted location, noting the weather would be something to keep track of as well. And I never really thought about that till just now. And I don't know why.
Yeah, no, and that's what we don't know what correlates, right? We, we honestly haven't collected enough data to say, hey, you know, this correlates to that. Yes, a full moon does matter, or no, a full moon does not matter. We, you know, we all have our personal beliefs on that kind of stuff, but we really don't have what I would call facts on it. We don't have that data that we can point to and say, look, every third Thursday on a full moon, this happens, right? We don't have that data.
Now, let's also talk about your Piccolo EMF music box. So tell me how that one came about.
That one, again, I wanted to read the energy in the environment. So I created this three-axis EMF detector. So what that means is if your listeners are familiar with a K2, that's a single-axis meter. So it only reads one of the three. EMF, the characteristics of EMF is that it has three axes, right? It's a three-dimensional waveform. So if you can read all three waves, you get the true magnitude of that EMF. So that's what my Piccolo does. It reads all three. So it gets a true magnitude of that EMF. And then it triggers a little mechanism inside that plays music. It's not a mechanical mechanism. It's all digital. And you can adjust the sensitivity. Say you're in an area that's just noisy with EMF. So you want to turn that trigger up so you're not always setting it off. Mm. You can adjust that sensitivity, and you can also adjust the volume as well. And you can also, there's another switch. You can turn the music off. Maybe you're doing an EVP session. You want the feedback, but you don't want the audio. So I made that available as well.
Is it a little nerve-wracking when you create a device and you hand it off to somebody else and, like, fingers crossed, I hope this works as I intended it to, or I hope they can use it in the way I intended it? Because that would make me, just because I question myself all the time.
Sure. I do a lot of research on my devices. So as I'm developing them, I'm testing them in the field. And then when it gets to a point where I think it's ready, that's when I call on a lot of investigator friends of mine.
Have them test it.
I give it to them and I let them take it out in the field and I get feedback from them as well. And sometimes I got to make a change or two, for the user. Maybe they didn't understand something quite right the way I understood it. So yeah, and then I make those changes. And then hopefully, I hope that once the device is ready to be sold into production, that I try to make it user-friendly. Really, I just want them to be able to turn it on and go with it. So that's my hope. But yeah, it is frustrating sometimes when I get the reports from customers that are like, it doesn't do this. And I'm like, well, it's not supposed to do that. I never said it does that, right? So that
can be a little. And there's user error too. I bought an air compressor this week and I can't get it to air up the tire. And I know it's me. You know, it's like, it's a pretty simple device. I can't figure out why I'm not getting it to work. But, you know, I think that too, there's also, you know, you've got to use it properly and, you know, everything comes with instructions.
Yeah, that's true with any device. I mean, mm-hmm. I heard someone say that if you don't understand how your devices work, how do you know they're working?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and then we're going out. And like I said, we're measuring subtleties in the environment. And if you're not careful, that little subtlety may just be a false positive if you don't really know. So one of my pet peeves is when people put a REM pod on a metal folding chair and then it starts to go off. And the way a REM pod works is it's detecting the capacitance in the air, its ability to transfer electrons. Well, when you put it on a metal chair, basically what you're doing is increasing the size of its antenna. So it becomes hypersensitive at that point when you put it on a metal chair or on a metal table or something like that. So I always tell people, put it on a wooden chair or a wooden table or something like that, not on metal. Because again, you know, that goes back to understanding how it works and why it's doing what it's doing, so that you can say that subtle change is paranormal versus that subtle change is because I really don't know how it works. And then that gets us in trouble as paranormal investigators, because mm-hmm. we're always fighting the skeptics, right? And I think skepticism is healthy, but you know, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right?
And I think something like a REM pod too is so common in investigations, and so many people are using them that they just don't think to really pay attention to how to use it properly.
Right.
And just because, you know, no fault of theirs, maybe they just haven't. It's like, I saw this on a YouTube video. Here's what they did. And they just set it down and they don't pay any attention to what they're setting it on.
Exactly. Yeah. I went to a public ghost hunt one time, and there was a coffee table in the middle of this living room, and everyone had put devices on the coffee table. And first of all, I thought, is this a yard sale? Are you selling this? What's going on? And they had everything turned on, and I had to explain to them why that was a bad idea, because just like in, you know, radio jamming is a real thing. And if you get all these electronic devices so close to one another, they're going to start to interfere mm-hmm. with each other. And again, going back to we're measuring subtle changes in the environment. You don't want to get yourself in a situation where you've got a REM pod right next to a Melmeter, which is also a built-in REM pod, right? And now you've got an issue of radio jamming because they both emit EMF, right? And they're going to fool with each other. You might get false positives. You might get nothing. And that's not what you want when you're trying to measure subtle changes in the environment.
Now, you've been investigating for 20 years. Could you share just a couple, maybe, of your favorite places that you've gone to that you really felt were pretty active and you got a lot of interesting data?
Yeah. So on the public haunt side, I would say Malvern. Well, I live in Iowa, so a lot of these are going to be close to me there in Iowa.
See, okay, I'm just going to tell you about Iowa. I always say this all the time, and I'm going to say it again. I think Iowa is one of the most haunted states there is. It seems there's a lot of locations. My sister owns a haunted building, but like Malvern Manor, there's just so many locations in Iowa that are so haunted. So what did you think about Malvern Manor?
Malvern is interesting in the way that, like, for my data, it would... The couple times that I was there with my devices, they interacted fantastically, especially with the Piccolo. We could put that down the Shadow Man hallway and get that to go off by asking questions. In my mind, I picture him walking down there and setting it off, right? But it detects EMF, so technically he didn't have to be next to it. But so... When I can go to a location and have them set off devices on command, I find that really interesting. That's statistically significant to me.
Yeah.
Right. Because do things kind of randomly go off? Yes, they do, because there are things that happen in the environment that may be very similar to the way that a spirit would react. So we will get false positives that way. But you don't always know it's a false positive, right? But when you can get it to react on command, then that is statistically significant. And I really like that. And Malvern Manor is one of those places where I could do that. Another one, and not to bring it back up again, but here at the Mullins home, the first time I was here a year ago, we were able to, we had REM pods set up, and I had my tower, which is one device I don't sell, but I make. It is a EMF and static detector, and they would set that thing off. Like, you could almost ask yes and no questions with it, and they would set that off. And I just absolutely love that when that happens, because that's correlation, and you can, you know, really, you use that data, because it's to me, it's substantial.
Now, you are a sciencey kind of guy, and do you also have the ability of walking into a place and feeling it?
Yes, and I'm not psychic or anything like that, but I would say that I'm a little sensitive, and mm-hmm. I think maybe that's growing up in the house that I grew up in, right? So for me, I can walk into an area and I can just say something's off. I don't mm-hmm. know exactly what it is, but I know something's not quite right. And in fact, yesterday when we walked into the house here, the Mullins home, we went down in the basement, and the lights were on. We didn't have the lights turned off. Lights were on. So we weren't in kind of like a scary mode or anything. We were just looking at the house, and suddenly all the hairs on my arms just stood up on end. And I showed Travis, I said, look at this. I'm not feeling, anxious. I'm not scared. I feel perfectly fine. But yet at the same time, all these hairs are standing up on end. Now, the last time I was here a year ago, the basement is where we got a voice. Don't know what it said, but we heard it with our own ears. And then we got a growl. It wasn't like a moan growl. It was like a real dog-like growl that came out of that basement. So that's definitely one place I want to hit tonight when we go down there. But yeah, I do think that I'm a little sensitive when it comes to being able to feel if a place is haunted or not. I can feel that things are off.
And when you go in to set up, does it take you a while to set everything up? Do you go in first and kind of check the place out and kind of be in the place? And because you can kind of sense some things, it's like, I feel we should be set up in this room versus this room.
I do. Yeah. Actually, that's what we did last night. So we came in and kind of walked through the house to, experience it. And I wanted to show Travis around. And then at the same time, I had investigated a year ago, so I wanted to compare what I felt then and thought then to what I felt now and see if that was still the same. And a lot of it was identical, right? The basement set me off. The top of the stairs set me off. And then the master bedroom, which is where I slept last night, also set me off.
Gonna sleep there again tonight.
I'm gonna sleep here again tonight.
I'd be like, I'll just crash on the sofa downstairs. I'm good. But it would be interesting tonight if you hear those footsteps again.
Yes.
And did you pay attention to what time they happened last night?
I did not. Travis did. He said it was around 3:00.
So it'd be interesting to, if that happens again about the same time, because you should be sound asleep by that point.
You're right.
I would think. Now, you do have a website, and it's ghostgeartech.com.
Yep.
And so they can check out the equipment on there. You can buy the equipment on there, but you could also reach out to you with questions or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I take a lot of questions, technical questions. Folks will ask me, really, they'll ask me how things work. Not my devices, but devices that other makers make, right? Because they're like, how does this actually work? So they just want to understand it so that mm-hmm. they can use it properly. And I have no problem answering those kind of questions at all.
And of course, your own equipment, you can answer the questions about that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I get those the most, obviously, on my own. I love, if you look at my blogs, you'll see that I just love to teach from the science side. I try to give and share information as much as I can.
You also have some good merch on there. And you've got hoodies, like, I like the grumpy old ghost hunter hoodie, but you've got like Ghost Gear Tech hats and t-shirts and stuff, but you have some really cool merch on there too.
Oh, thank you. So, yeah. We got t-shirts and hoodies and beanies and ball caps.
Yeah. So check that out. It's ghostgeartech.com, and I'll put a link in the show notes as well. so people can just click on that. But I have got to know how this investigation goes. I just know there's something more that I'm going to read about. Will you post anything on your Facebook page?
I'm going to post it on
blog?
My YouTube page. Yeah, we're going to record it.
Okay.
And I will edit it so that, you know, edit it down, and I will post that. I'm going to have, because of the footsteps, and I'm kicking myself because I did not do it, but I have a microphone array that I want to set out here in the hallway for the footsteps so that I can capture them and record them as they move along. So it's multiple microphones. So you'll be able to hear it with a headset walking across, you know, spatially as it's walking.
So interesting. I can't wait for the follow-up on this. But thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you.
I really, really appreciate this.
I had a very fun time.
And that wraps up our conversation with Rob Walczak. For more information, visit his website at ghostgeartech.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.